Brandon Bennett with the Rural Radio Network and our monthly update in agricultural history. We're joined by Dr. David Vail, Assistant Professor of Agricultural History at the University of Nebraska-Kearney. Dr. Vail, we all know the famous Garth Brooks song, Friends in Low Places, but within the study of agricultural history, there's also the phenomenon of studying agriculture in unexpected places.
Well, that's right. And agriculture in unexpected places, part of living in Nebraska for me has been finding the role agriculture plays in our daily lives in various ways. But some of those ways have been unexpected to me, you know, beyond history and different forms of it. And so that's what I'm sort of excited to encourage our listeners to think about, that agriculture and the richness that we all sort of think about when we drive by fields or we harvest or whatever, it can also inform other parts of our lives that we don't normally think about.
And David, speaking of unexpected, the science of chemistry, as well as art and literature, can also be found in ag science, and most people don't think about that.
One of the things that has been really exciting for me in working at UNK is the idea of a STEM, what people call STEM and humanities crossover or relationships, connections. And that certainly helped me as a historian to think about these things. But chemergy was this movement in the 1920s and 30s. It also went through the 1940s, World War II. But it was basically a way that industry, farmers, and sort of these larger goals of creating bio-industrial goods emerged during these decades. And so today we call them sort of how do we convert raw materials into other sort of industrial goods beyond crops and crop production per se. And they had the same kind of tensions that we sort of have today too when we think about these things, like do we raise crops to be sustainable for our family farms and beyond markets, sort of international markets, or do we keep them as national markets? And those conversations and those tensions existed in this movement, but it was sort of one of the first examples, I think, in Nebraska and other parts of the Great Plains, especially of trying to think about crops differently than just producing them for crop's sake. And so you can sort of find agriculture in there. You can also find it in art and literature.
Dr. Vail, give us some examples of what you're talking about there.
I think like in art, for example, there's this great artist that has done a lot with Nebraska specifically, but connecting agriculture, landscapes, and region. But you also get the science technology parts in his art. Dwight Kirsch, you can come to Mona here in Kearney and see some of his collection. But he was part of the regional school in the Great Plains of the 1930s and 40s. But he connects sort of the technology of agriculture, the landscape of agriculture, the challenges, like he did a piece on the sort of a dust bowl in the Sandhills. And so all that to say, I mean, that's another sort of unexpected place for most of us to think about agriculture and agricultural history, but it resides right in this amazing artwork. Also, most of us are familiar with Willa Cather, but in her books like O Pioneers and A Lost Lady, other works that she's done, you can see agriculture and agricultural science, sort of the reports stuff being translated into a literary story. And that's just another source to think about when we think about our agricultural heritage here.
Brandon Bennett with the Rural Radio Network talking with Dr. David Vail, Assistant Professor for Agricultural History at the University of Nebraska-Kearney, for a monthly update in ag history. Dr. Vail, here coming up the day after tomorrow, you have a big lecture on campus at UNK as part of the Warner Lecture Series. Give us an overview of your talk for Thursday.
I'm excited and honored to give this lecture, and basically, it's free and open to the public, by the way. Basically, it's to talk more about what we just discussed, sort of the relationship between STEM and humanities in Nebraska's agriculture. And so I have different types of artifacts from UNK archives to present, and just sort of talking about these relationships and how valuable they are, not just in terms of solving problems together, but also understanding their past together. So much of Nebraska agriculture has science, technology, but it also has culture and landscapes, rural peoples. All of that matters together. And so I'm excited to talk about it more in a couple of days.
Dr. Vail, the last word is yours. What has happened this month in agricultural history?
Well, this month I'd like to go back to August of 1941 in the lead up to World War II, and especially American involvement in World War II. FDR passed the Flood Control Act of 1941, and this is part of also sort of the New Deal programs. But essentially, it was to help rural places across the country, A, harness water in new ways, but also protect rural communities from flooding. And so this had a distinct agricultural component to the act. It was also controversial because, as most of us know, some of the places that would ultimately be water reservoirs earlier were rural towns and communities. And so this was part of this process of preventing floods, but at sometimes, at least for certain rural communities, at the cost of their own communities. And so that's what's happening in August of 1941.
That was Dr. David Vail, Assistant Professor for Agricultural History at the University of Nebraska-Kearney, joining us for our monthly update in Ag History. With the Rural Radio Network, this is Brandon Bennett.